طيب بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. Okay, this is our 11th session for basic Arabic grammar review. And last week we went through page 10 and 11, which gives us a listing of pronouns, attached pronouns and unattached pronouns, and how we connect the attached pronouns to a clear noun or to prepositions, or how we connect the prepositions to pronouns, clear nouns or pronouns. Our main concern here is related to the prepositions and the pronouns and how they connect together. Okay, the connecting pronouns. We have on the board here a listing of 10 pronouns, excluding the dual. Excluding the dual pronouns. Okay, that's what we're responsible for. And all of the pronouns except the duals. On the chart, we have duals also, but we're not really responsible for them. So you don't have to worry about them too much. Okay, but we do have here a listing of the pronouns when they are independent, when they are not attached or connected to anything. And we have them in order of third person, and he or she, and then second person, masculine and feminine, and then first person. In the first column, they are the singulars. In the second column, they are the plurals. Third person, any masculine and feminine pronouns, hum and hunna. Second person, masculine and feminine, plural pronouns, antum and antunna. And third person, plural, first person, plural, for both used for masculine and feminine, nahnu. Okay, and beside them we see that there's another yani set of pronouns. Those are the attached pronouns, when they connect either to a verb or a preposition or a clear noun. This is how they look when they connect. And for the last couple of weeks we've been talking about pronouns and prepositions, and hopefully yani we've learned most if not all of the pronouns. It's incumbent, it's critical, it's essential. There's no escape from it. You have to memorize them. You have to learn them. How to use them when they're connected. How to use them when they are not connected. You have to know their meanings. You have to know when to use the first person, when to use the second person. First person being the speaker, and when you're referring to yourself. Second person being the one who's being addressed when you're speaking to somebody. When you're saying, you, for example, are my friend. Okay, second person, when you're addressing somebody. Third person, when you're talking about someone else. When you're talking about somebody else. Okay, so we have to know, when do we use the first person pronoun, Anna, for example. When do we use the second person pronoun, Anta or Anti, being masculine or feminine. And when we use the third person pronoun, Hua or Hiya. When we use plurals, for example. Any first person, plural pronoun, Nahnu, when we use second person plural pronoun antum or antunna, and when we use third person hum or hunna. We have to know when do we use first person, when we use second person, when we use third person. That's what the last couple of sessions dealt with. When do we use masculine? When do we use feminine? When do we use singular? When do we use plural? Okay, when do we use an attached pronoun? When do we use an unattached pronoun? So we started talking about this a couple of weeks ago, and we have been spending a lot of time with this, and today, inshallah, we're going to conclude this discussion. I hope that at least you understand the concept of the pronoun, that there's a difference between the attached pronoun and the unattached pronoun. Okay, primarily the unattached pronoun, like huwa and hiya and anta and anti, they are used when you need a pronoun in the case where a word is in the nominative case, yani when it's marfu'un. And the attached pronouns are used when you need a pronoun in the genitive or accusative case, yani when it's majrur or mansub. Okay, this is like basic to the use of pronouns. When do you use the pronoun for the nominative case, unattached, and when do you use the pronoun for the accusative or genitive case, the attached pronoun. Okay, after that, then you have to decide, am I talking about myself? Am I talking to someone? I'm talking about somebody. To know which yani pronoun to use, first, second, or third person, you have to decide, are you going to use a masculine pronoun or a feminine pronoun? And you're going to decide whether or not it is singular or dual or plural. Okay, that being said, we had a number of prepositions like min and ila and fi and ala in lesson 4 in Medina book 1. And again, this is a review, right, of what we covered in Medina book 1. This is a review. We learned this, Annie, some time ago, and we're just reviewing. Okay, so we have those prepositions. And then we also had li and bi and an. And beyond that, we had some adverbs like inda and ma'a. And they have listed them here with the prepositions. Okay, so we said that these inda and ma'a are not prepositions, rather they are adverbs. Yani dharf or dhuruf. And the adverb functions similar to a preposition in that the noun which follows the preposition is always going to be majrur. And the noun that follows the dharf is also majrur. So because of that, since they yani act upon and affect the noun that follows them in the same way, sometimes people get them mixed up. And if we get them confused sometimes because they act upon the noun that follows them the same way. But we should note, in terms of grammar, the noun that follows the preposition, we say that it is ism majrur. And it's a noun that became majrur because of the preposition, because of the harf jar. But the noun that follows a dharf, we say it is mudafun ilayhi. Mudafun ilayhi majrur. Alright? And we're going to talk about idafa today in general, how it functions, and what are the rules related to it, inshallah, as our next topic, once we just go through these exercises, hopefully, without difficulty. Hopefully without difficulty, yes. I hope that we're going to go through these exercises without difficulty. I want to ask, but as usual, when I want to ask this question, I always feel uncomfortable. But Mustafa encourages me. Mustafa al-Kabir, the elder Mustafa. Yeah. He encourages me to ask. I don't want a response. I just want you to think about what I'm saying here. All right? You don't have to answer. My question is, who has actually gone through the exercise that we had for homework last week? Annie, the next two pages in these notes, page 12 and 13. That's the question that I have some hesitancy to ask. Who has done the exercises, have written them out completely, and Yani come prepared today to go through them Yani together orally? Okay, I'm not looking for you to raise your hands, but that is a real question. Alright, so that being said, any question? Any question about the prepositions? Do you have a question about prepositions? Do you have a question about pronouns or how they are used together? If you have a question, before we do the exercise, inshallah, we'll take questions. Otherwise, we'll go straight to the exercise. Any question? Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Tayyib, khair. Barakallahu feekum. Alright, so we're on page 12. I believe the sisters do not have a monitor today. That's what Khalid told me. It wasn't working. So I'm assuming that we do not have a monitor. If the sisters do have the monitor working, please inform me at some point. Let me know that the monitor is working, if you're able to get it working. So, on page 12. We look at page 12. It should look familiar to us. And it has the same two columns of pronouns. And in the first column on the right side, going from right to left, we have the pronouns when they are not connected. Yani when they are in the position of being marfu', yani in the nominative case. Alright, the first column, we have huwa, huma, and hum. What kind of pronouns are these? What can we say about these three pronouns? Huwa, huma, and hum. Who can tell me something about these pronouns? Yes. They're third person, jayid. And what?
Masculine.
They're all third person, they're all masculine. Huwa is singular, huma is dual, and hum is plural. Jayid. Underneath them, we have three more pronouns, hiya, هما and هن. And these, what can we say about them? Third person, feminine pronouns. Singular, dual, and plural. Following them, we have أنت, أنتما, and أنتم. What kind of pronouns? Second person, masculine, singular, dual, and plural. And following them, then we have the feminine, second person, singular, dual, and plural, and يعني أنت, أنتما, and أنتن. And finally, we have أنا and نحن, and these are the first person pronouns, يعني the singular, أنا, and the plural, نحن. And we said that the first person pronouns are used يعني equally for masculine and feminine. Okay, after this column of pronouns, the separate pronouns which are used in the nominative case, and again, just so that we're not confused, when we say the nominative case, we mean that when a noun is in the position of being in the nominative case, marfu'un, walaykum salam, if we need to replace it with a pronoun, this is the kind of pronoun we're going to use. But the pronoun itself is not in the nominative case. Pronouns are all mabniyun. So we say they are mabniyun in the place where they should be marfu'un. That is, fi mahalli raf. Alright, just to clarify, so we don't get confused and say that these pronouns are marfu'un. No. They are pronouns used in the place where a noun is marfu'un, and we're replacing that noun with a pronoun, but the pronoun itself is not marfu'un. It's mabniyun. Mabniyun means it's fixed. It's fixed. Okay, more importantly is the second column of pronouns. Second column. The second column are the attached pronouns. يعني الضمائر المتصلة. متصلة means that they are connected. You attach them. You can attach them to a verb. You can attach them to a preposition. You can attach them to a clear noun. A clear noun like kitab. You can say kitabuka. Kitabuhu. Kitabuna. Huh? يعني attaching it to a clear noun. You can attach it also to a pronoun. You can attach the preposition. I'm sorry, you can attach these pronouns to prepositions. So you can say, for example, يعني the preposition من. For example, you say from him, من who. From you, masculine singular, من ك. From you, if you're speaking to a female, feminine singular, you say min ki, like this. Alright? And also, in the accusative case, yani mansub, you can connect them to verbs, like you can say, I saw you. You say, ra'aytu ka, ra'aytu ka, I saw you. Ra'aytu hu, I saw him, like this, okay? So these are the attached pronouns they use in the genitive case. يعني an idolfa with a clear noun, for example, the book of him, kitabuhu. And they also use, and in the genitive, also in the accusative case. Now, is it on? Okay, khalas. Okay, alhamdulillah. Tayyib. Okay, so these attached pronouns used in the position where a noun is being, a noun that's in the accusative or genitive case is being replaced by a pronoun. We use the attached pronouns for both of these cases. This is what we want to look at today. Now,
you mentioned something now. Rahitu hu, I saw you.
I saw him. Rahitu hu. Uh huh.
Well, I was expecting you to say Anna, hi.
Uh huh.
First, before.
You can say that. You can say Anna. Ra'aytu hu. Can say Anna now. But yani, if you remember when we were talking about verbs in an earlier lesson, in an earlier review, we said that the verb in Arabic includes the meaning of the action of the verb. It also includes the tense, whether it's past, yani madi or mudari. And it also includes the fa'il, the one who's doing the action. So you don't have to say ana, because the verb, the Arabic verb, includes the doer of the action, is included in the verb itself. The verb includes all of those things, including the one who's doing the action. So when you say ra'aytu, it already means ana. It already means ana, okay? But if you say ana, okay, no problem, you can do it. Okay, it just means that, like you are emphasizing. Saying ana Ra'aytu. No, it's common. It's however you want to do it. Yani, it's up to you, as you like. It's not necessary. It's not necessary. But yani, if you feel a need to emphasize the point, yani, the fa'il in the verb is already there, but if you want to use independent pronoun with it, no problem. Alright, so these are the prepositions that we are looking at, the ones that can be attached to something, and we want to see how we attach them to a clear noun. In this case, they gave us the example of kitab, and then we see how it's attached to yani, the prepositions. On this page, there are four prepositions, min, ila, fi, and ala, and on the next page, there are three more, li, and bi, and an, and then there's the dhuruf, anda, and ma'a. We're going to go across the page, as we did previously when we were taking, when we were looking at this. We're going to go across the page. We're going to look at the pronoun in the order that they are here. Third person, singular, dual and plural, masculine, and then feminine, and then second person, and then first person. And if you have written down the exercise, then we're going to ask you to read straight across the page. Okay? And hopefully, if somebody has a question, inshallah, we'll stop. But hopefully there shouldn't be. Hopefully there's not going to be a lot of questions because we did this exercise before in class, and then we did it for homework, and now we're doing it for the third time. Okay? I hope you get the point. The point is, if you have a question, ask, no problem. But by now we should be catching this a little bit, okay? And again, this is review because we had this before. Most of us, whoever was in the class when we did Medina Book 1. Okay, we're on page 12, top of the page, and from the right to the left, we're going to use the pronoun who, third person, masculine, singular. We're going to use it with a clear noun that they gave us, kitab, and then we're going to use it again with the same clear noun, but with a preposition before it, which changes it, right? The preposition changes the noun to majrur, so it takes kasra, and some of these pronouns, when they're preceded by kasra or ya with sukun, the pronoun is going to change, right? Like, give me an example. What kind of pronoun is going to change? When there's a kasra. Nam, fi kitabihi. So he here is originally what? Who. But it changed to he because of what? Because the word that is connected to, the last letter of that word, has a kasra. Since it's preceded by a preposition, then it took kasra. Sisters have a monitor now, so I can write this on the board. Yani, this word that they gave us, kitab, right? If we want to connect a pronoun to it, like for example, who, we can connect it here. We have to get rid of the tanween, right? And then we have kitabu hu. But if kitab is preceded by any preposition, then yani kitab, this ba, it changed from dhamma to kasra because of fi. And then this hu changed from hu to he. Because of it being preceded by kasra. Okay, so please try to keep that in mind. That works for who becomes he, and whom becomes him, and huma becomes hima. Alright, so please pay attention to this. Yani, they're going to give us the clear noun first in the marfu'un case. It's going to end with dhamma, and then they're going to give it to us following a preposition, in which case it's going to end with kasra, and these pronouns, who and whom and huma, are going to have to then be modified because of that kasra. Okay, so remember the pronoun who and huma, the dual, and whom. They're going to change from dhamma to kasra. Okay, who wants to take the first line? Who? Ya Abdul Karim.
Kitabuhu.
Naam.
Fi kitabihi.
Minhu.
Ilayhi.
Ilayhi. Fihi and alayhi. Okay, again, with the preposition ila, right? I'm sorry, ila and the preposition ala. Remember these two prepositions, because they end with alif maksura, when you connect them to a pronoun, yani, this alif maksura becomes ya. Okay, alif maksura becomes ya. And then, when it becomes ya, if you're connecting it to who, right? Because it's ending with ya with sukun. Kasra or ya with sukun, the who becomes he. So this became ilayhi. And the same thing with ala. Yani ala becomes alayhi. Yani ala, the alif maksura, is converted to ya. And because of this ya with sukun before the hu becomes he. So we have ilayhi and alayhi, which is originally hu, right? It's originally ilahu and ala hu. Alahu becomes alayhi. Alayhi salam, for example. You say Musa alayhi salam. Originally it's what? Alahu. And upon him be peace. Okay, that's the first line. Second line. Who takes the second line? Mustafa.
Huma.
Huma. This is the dual, right? Third person, masculine dual. Naam.
Kitabuhuma.
Fi kitabihima. Naam.
Min
hima. Min hima. Look. Yeah, min huma. Remember, right? Only, yani huma. No problem. Huma remains huma unless it's preceded by a kesra or a ya with sukun. But here it's preceded by sukun, not by ya with sukun. Okay, so it should be what? Min huma. Min huma. Naam.
Ilayhima.
Here's kesra. Ilayhima. Naam.
Fihima.
It's preceded by ya with sukun. Fihima. Alayhima. Naam. Taib. The third line, plural, masculine. Third person plural, hum, meaning they. Naam.
Kitabuhum.
Naam.
Fi kitabihim.
Fi kitabi. Singular. Should be singular. Third person. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, yeah. Plural, okay. Fi kitabi. Fi kitabihim. Naam.
Minhum.
Ilayhim.
Fihim.
And alayhim. Taib, feminine. Feminine, third person, singular, dual, and plural. Naam. Abu Bakr.
Kitabuha.
Fi kitabiha.
Minha.
Ilayha.
Fiha.
Alayha. Duels. Duels. Naam, Adam. Kitabuhuma.
Kitabuhuma.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you said.
Kitabuhuma.
Yeah, kitabuhuma. Go ahead.
Fi kitabihima. Minhuma.
Ilayhima.
Fihima.
Alayhima. Okay, second person. Second person, masculine, singular, dual, and plural. Starting with anta. Who wants this one? Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. Anta. Huh? Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, hunna. Okay. Naam. Oh, so, yeah, go ahead. Somebody? Somebody who didn't read. Oh, I'm sorry, Ibrahim. Okay, we're still in the third person. Third person, feminine, plural. Hunna. Naam.
Kitabuhunna.
Fi kitabihinna.
Minhunna.
Ilayhinna. Fihinna.
Alayhinna.
Tayyib. Second person now. Second person, please try to help us with these exercises. Everybody should be and he's trying to participate. Naam. Ashkurullah. We're in second person. Masculine, singular. Anta or ka. Naam. Just use kitab. You have sayara? Okay. He has sayara. No problem. Go ahead. Sayara to ka. Keep in mind that sayara ends with ta marbuta, and ta marbuta, if anything comes after it, attached to the word, has to be changed to what? Open ta, ta maftuha. Okay, so you're going to say sayara tu ka. Naam.
Fi
سيارتك.
في سيارتك.
منك.
منك.
إليك.
إليك.
فيك.
فيك.
عليك.
عليك. أوكي أنتما وكما كما. نعم. كتابكما meaning the book of you two, the two of you, dual. في كتابكما منكما منكما منكما
إليكما
إليكما في
فيكما
فيكما
عليكم
عليكما. Okay, أنتم the attached pronoun is كم. أنتم the attached pronoun كم. نعم. Somebody read. شعيب. كتابكم. في كتابكم. منكم. إليكم. فيكم. عليكم. جزاك الله خير. نعم. Okay, feminine, second person. عليكم السلام. Feminine, second person. Adam. And key. نعم.
كتابك.
في كتابك.
منك.
إليك. فيك. عليك. أنتما. وكما. Second person. Dual. نعم. Anybody? نعم فضل. كتابكما
في كتابكما
منكما
إليكما
فيكما
عليكما.
Okay, second person, feminine, plural, أنتن, attached pronoun, كنا كنا. نعم. إبراهيم. كتاب كنا
في كتاب
كنا
من
كنا
إلي
كنا
في
كنا
علي
كنا. Okay, first person singular أنا. Here I remind us that the attached pronoun for the first person singular is يا المتكلم, meaning the ya with sukoon, the ya with sukoon. يعني it must always be preceded by kasra. This ya المتكلم must always be preceded by kasra. So even if a word was in the position where it's marfoon and should take dhamma, the dhamma is going to be what? Superseded by the kasra. Ya المتكلم must be preceded by kasra. Okay, so we have to keep that in mind. With ya المتكلم, the vowel before is always going to be kasra, no matter يعني if the word is majrur or not. It's always going to be preceded by kasra. Okay, so we have ya al-mutakallam here. This is the ya that's used for the first person singular, the speaker, when a person is speaking about their individual self. And also there's a note here, it says that يعني for example, if a word ends with ya with sukoon and then you attach to it ya al-mutakallam, which has sukoon, then together you write them with shadda, and the sukoon of ya al-mutakallam is going to be replaced with fatha. It's going to be replaced with fatha. So pay attention to that. Naam. Okay, first person. Anna. Let's. Ashkurullah.
Sayara ti.
Naam. Elongation, right? Sayara ti. Kasra. Ya. Naam. في سيارتي. مني. With shadda on the noon, right? مني. إليّ. Okay, إليّ here, right? Like we just said, يعني إليّ, it is إلى, right? إلى this, ألف مكسور becomes يا. And then you have يا المتكلم, right? Which originally has سكون. So you have Hamza with Kasra, you have Lam with Fatha, and then you have two Ya's. This Ya, yani the Alif Maksura became Ya, and Ya al-Mutakallam, again, Shadda,
And for that reason, because of two sukuns, we have to add a fatha. It became ilayya. Naam. Fiya. Also, we have the same thing. We have ya with sukun in the preposition fi, and then we have ya al-mutakallam, yani with sukun also. Two ya's with sukun. Write them one time with shadda, and replace the sukun on ya al-mutakallam with fatha. Naam. Fiya. Naam. And alayya. Tayyib. First person plural. Nahnu. Attached pronoun is na. Anybody on this side? Yeah. Sharif, you're welcome. Ahlan. Okay, here, right? And the first one, right? We're going to use the preposition na. Noon, fatta, alif. Na. So we're going to attach that to the word. Yani kitabu. Kitabu. Na. Kitabu na.
Okay,
na. Naam. And then we have fi. Fi kitabi na. We're going to use the pronoun now, each one.
Okay.
Min?
Min kitabi.
No, min, just min and the preposition.
Min.
Minna. Minna. Good. Ilayna. Fina. Good. Ilayna. There it is. Alhamdulillah. MashaAllah. طيب. Okay. Same thing we want to do on the next page. And page 13. We have the same setup. Except this time. Yani the clear noun that they gave us instead of kitab, they gave us bait. They gave us bait. And they gave us different prepositions, li and bi and an and inda and ma'a. And by the way, as far as the adverbs, inda and ma'a, we said that these two, sometimes people get them confused. Okay? Because inda is often used to have the meaning of with. Okay? And ma'a also means with. But they are not used the same way. Right? So what is the difference between how we use, when we use inda and when we use ma'a? Yani if somebody said, huwa inda al-mudir, or huwa ma'a al-mudir, what would be the difference? Huwa inda al-mudir, huwa ma'a al-mudir. Naam, Mustafa.
Well, inda is more specific.
Inda is more specific, okay. Meaning?
So when you say inda,
inda al-mudir al-madrasa, for example. He's with the mudir in his office.
Right.
The principal, he's with the principal in his office and in the school. But if you said huwa ma'a al-mudir, then he's with the principal anywhere. We don't know. Yeah, and in the marketplace, in the park, any place. Okay, ma'a is general. Inda is more specific. Yani you say inda al-imam, meaning he's with the imam in the place that's special to the imam, that's specific to the imam, not just with the imam anywhere. And if he was with the imam in the park, you don't say huwa inda al-imam in the park. No, you say huwa ma'a al-imam. Alright, so try to keep this in mind. This is a fine point. For us in English, sometimes it becomes a little confusing because we translate them the same way. So sometimes we use them interchangeably, incorrectly. Okay, so we have bait here, like baituhu, and then fi baiti hi. And then we have li, and we have bi and an and inda and ma. And for li, we just want to make a note. What did we say about li? The preposition li means for or belonging to. What did we say about this preposition li when it's connected to pronouns? Huh? A change from kasra to fatha. Huh? So we don't say li ka, li hu. Huh? It changed from kasra to the fact that we say laka, lahu, except with one exception, ya al-mutakallam. Ya al-mutakallam remains kasra because ya al-mutakallam must be preceded by kasra all the time. Alright, okay, let's do the first, starting from third person, masculine, singular, dual, and plural. Naam, with bait. Naam, fadl.
Baituhu.
Baituhu.
Fi baitihi.
Lahu. Lahu. For him. Naam.
Bihi.
Bihi. Okay, we change hu to he because what? B as kasra. Bihi.
Anhu.
Anhu.
عنده
معه
معه معه يعني نعم. طيب دو هما هما فضوا أبو بكر
بيتهما
في بيتهما لهما يعني لي became فتح right لهما يعني this هذا لهما this is for the two of them نعم بهما with كسرة ها huh? بهما became هما هما نعم
عنهما
عندهما معهما okay the plural هم and also keep in mind that هما and هم and also هن these pronouns are the same when they are attached or unattached نعم plural هم عبد الرشيد بيتهم
في بيتهم
لهم
بهم
عنهم
عندهم
معهم طيب feminine third person هي the attached pronoun is ها مصطفى بيتها في بيتها
لها
بها
عنها
I'm sorry
عنها
عندها
معها
okay دو هما the two of them نعم إبراهيم
بيتهما
في بيتهما نعم لهما
بهما
عنهما
عندهما
معهما okay the plural third person feminine plural هن نعم anybody نعم شعيب بيتهن في بيتهن change to كسرة لهن بهن نعم بهن هن became هن بهن عنهن عندهن نعم ماهن نعم I'm sorry. Ma'a? I'm sorry, what did you say? I was a little distracted. Ma'hunna. Jazakallah khair, Abu Bakr. Yeah, please, everybody, yani when somebody else is doing the exercise, everybody should be paying attention. In case, yani, there's something that needs to be, yani, looked at, then we should all be, yani, observing, monitoring, listening carefully. Tayyib, second person. Second person, masculine first, singular, dual, and plural. Now I'm Adam.
Anta waka.
Anta waka. Naam.
Baytuka.
Fi baytika.
Laka.
Laka.
Bika.
Bika.
Anka.
Anka.
Indaka.
Ma'aka. Ma'aka. Second person, dual, masculine. Antuma and kuma. Kuma. Naam. Sharif, you want to try?
Yes.
Why not?
I think it's
Beitu kuma. Fi beiti kuma. Okay. لكما جيد. لكما
بكما
عنكما
أنت عندكما
عندكما معكما جزاك الله خير. Okay, second person, feminine, masculine, plural, plural, masculine, plural. أنتم أنكم كم فضو.
بيتكم.
بيتكم.
في بيتكم.
في بيتكم.
لكم.
لكم.
بكم.
بكم.
عنكم.
عنكم.
عندكم.
عندكم
معكم.
معكم second person feminine singular dual and plural anti and key anti and key okay تفضل بسم الله right Okay, we're gonna anti yani is the independent pronoun. We're gonna use the attached pronoun ki, okay? With bait, we're gonna say what? Baitu
ki.
Baitu ki. Baitu ki. Nam. Fi.
Baitu.
Fi baiti. With kesra.
Fi baiti ki.
Nam. Fi baiti ki. Nam. Okay, here, right? The you skipped one. We have li here, right? But we're going to change li to fatha, right? La, la with ki.
La baiti.
No, forget about bait now. We're just using prepositions.
Okay. Baiti ki.
Okay. If it was fi, we'll say fi baiti ki. Now, but here we just have a preposition. We're saying, for example, this is for you. And this is. La, and if it was a man, we would say laka. For a female, we would say laki.
Laki.
Laki. And then we have the next preposition,
bi.
Bi.
Bi. Bi.
No bait.
Bi ki.
Bi ki. Okay, bi ki. After bi, an.
An. An.
Ki.
Ki. An.
An ki. An ki.
An ki.
Naam. After.
And a ki.
And a ki.
Ma
a ki. Ma a ki. Tayyib. After this we have what? The dual. Antuma and kuma. Somebody else. Mustafa, come on.
Baitukuma, fi baitikuma.
Baitukuma, fi bait.
Lakuma.
Lakuma.
Bikuma.
Bikuma.
Ankuma. Andakuma, ma'akuma.
Andakuma and ma'akuma. Tayyib. Plural. Antunna and kunna. Naam? Who's back here? Sayyid, naam, faddu. Baitu kunna, naam. Bi baiti kunna, naam. La kunna. بكنا
أن كنا
عند كنا عند كنا
ما كنا
ما كنا طيب page here first person singular طيب فضل نعم ألف أنا يا المتكلم نعم After that then, inshallah.
Allahu Akbar, Allah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Okay, inshallah, we're going to take a few minutes before we take a break for salah. And then remember, after the salah, we will return to the class, inshallah. Let's just try to finish what it remains here, and then I want to introduce the new topic for this class today. And whatever we can cover from it before we pray, and then after prayer, inshallah, we'll complete the topic. Okay, the last pronoun is the first person, plural. Nahnu or na? Na, fadl. I'm sorry, you did the last one?
First person singular.
Oh, first person singular, go ahead.
Ana
and ya al-mutakallim. Ana ya
al-mutakallim, na. Bayti.
Bayti.
Fi bayti.
Li.
Li.
B. Again.
Anni.
Andi. Ma'i. Ma'i. Notice that, yani an, it became anni with shadda. Okay, anni. Yani, in other words, the preposition an, it originally ends with sukoon, noon with sukoon. When you attach ya al-mutakallam to it, yani you don't say ani, but rather there's an extra noon added, which is called noon al-waqaya, yani to eliminate the confusion of the ya al-mutakallam, how it's attached to something. So in this case we have two noons, yani you write one with shadda. So it's an, and then ya al-mutakallam must be preceded by kasra, so it became anni. And you just try to pay attention to sometimes some of these modifications. Yani originally this is just an, yani ayn with fatha, noon with sukoon. And we're adding ya al-mutakallam, but we don't add it directly. So we have an, yani the original an, we have another noon, noon al-waqaya, and then we have ya al-mutakallam. So we have an here, another noon, yani we're writing them together, ayn, yani ayn, and then noon with sukoon, and then we have ya al-mutakallam on the end, which must be preceded by kasra, so it became an-ni, an-ni. Alright, so some of these modifications, yani,
some of these modifications.
Where did you get the second noon?
The second noon, where did I get it? Yeah, this is a noon that's used in different situations and circumstances to, and you can say, protect the ya al-mutakallam from yani being directly attached to something which could cause some misunderstanding. So the ya al-mutakallam in some cases will not be attached directly, rather will be separated by this special noon called noon al-wiqaya. And wiqaya means to guard or to protect or to shield something. All right, so it's separating the ya al-mutakallam from being directly attached to something. You know, wherever it comes, wherever we need to use it, we're going to mention it. That it comes here, okay, it's special use. It's an extra noon that's added for the purpose of and making clear the ya al-mutakallam, clearly separating from what it's being attached to. Okay, it's not used in every case, but wherever it's used, we're going to mention it, inshallah. Okay, what remains? The plural, right?
No.
Fadl, somebody. Abdul Halim, naam. Naam? Bait, yeah. Baituna. Fi baitina.
Lana.
Bina. Anna. Here's the noon wiqaya, right? Anna. Again? Andana. Naam? Ma'a. Ma'ana. Alright, these are the pronouns and the prepositions when they're connected together and when yani also we connect pronouns to clear nouns. And again, as I said, this is something that we were talking about for the last few sessions. And I hope that yani the main thing, if you didn't grasp everything, and especially if this is not a review for you, if you didn't have this before, you were not with us when we did Medina Book 1, and this might be new to you, then the main thing that you should come out of here with, you should know that pronouns are of different types. Okay, they are connected pronouns, yani which attach to other words, and they are independent pronouns, which do not attach to other words. So you should know that these two different type of pronouns exist, and their use is for certain purpose. Yani the unconnected or unattached are used when we need a word in the nominative case, and the attached ones are used in genitive and accusative case, yani majrur and mansub. The other thing that we should know about pronouns is that we have to, in order to use the pronouns, we have to know which one we need. Do we need a first person pronoun, second person, third person, masculine or feminine, singular, dual, or plural? So these are the things that, at least if you have the concept, then when you go back and study these pronouns and the prepositions, and as we mentioned earlier on, the pronouns are separated throughout Medina Book 1. They're given gradually in various chapters, and the prepositions are first introduced in the beginning, around chapter 4, I think, and then some other ones are added yani, in various places in different chapters. So they're not all in one place. Here we have brought them all together so you can see the whole picture. Naam, any question? Question? Okay, today, naam, fadl, Abu Bakr. Oh, noon al-waqaya. Noon al-waqaya. Naam. Noon. طيب, our subject for today, and we just have a few minutes actually before we take a break. I want to just introduce the subject, and then after the salat, inshallah, we'll come back to it. Our subject today, on page 14 and 15 also continues with that subject. The subject is what they have entitled the possessive or genitive case. The possessive or genitive case. Yani al-mudafu. وَالْمُضَافُ إِلَيْهِ. Okay, who knows what is the يعني مُضَافُ or مُضَافُ إِلَيْهِ? Who knows anything about this? Who remembers? We had this in lesson 5.
Medina Book 1, Lesson 5. Who knows what is Al-Mudafu or Mudafu Ilayhi? Naam. Abdul Halim. Naam, it's a special construction. Sometimes in English they call it construct phrase. Special construction. And it's a phrase. It's not a single word, nor is it a sentence. But it's a phrase composed of any more than one word, but not a complete sentence. Okay? Construct phrase. Yani, there's a construction. Like you're building something. You're constructing something from more than one part. Okay? It has two parts. And when you put them together, you make something that's a little different than any one of them alone. Okay? What else do we know about it? Yani, naam. Special construction using two words, two components. Naam.
So, al-mudaf is a possessed item.
Okay, al-mudaf is the possessed item. Okay, that's how they generally explain it. We want to modify that explanation a little bit, but anyway, it's the possessed item. Go ahead.
And the
mudaf ilayhi is the possessor. Okay, that's the way it's generally explained. But we want to modify that explanation a little bit. And we want to say that, naam? Yeah, actually, the idafa construction shows a relationship between these two things. That is, they are generally called the possessed and the possessor. But in reality, it's not always possession. Okay, it's not always possession. It could be relationship, yani, of blood relation. Yani, father and son, or yani, brother and sister. Yani, the father of Muhammad, for example. Or the daughter of Ahmed. Huh? The husband of Aisha. It's a relationship. It's not, yani, the husband of Aisha, yani, he's not possessed by Aisha. He's not owned by Aisha. He's just her husband. That's all. Huh? It may show the relationship of a part to the whole. A part of something to the whole, like the door of the house. The door of the house. What's the relationship? The door is a part of the house. Okay, it's not owned by the house, but it's a part of it. Okay, or like, for example, the key of the car. Now, the key is not even a part of the car, but it has a relationship to the car, right? It's used to open the car, to open the door, to turn it on or something, okay? So what we're saying is that this possessor and possessed relationship is not limited to possession. Rather, it's a relationship that has different, yani, angles that it may come from. So we have to keep that in mind. Generally speaking, you can translate it with the word of, like the key of the car, the door of the house, the son of Muhammad, huh? Although, you don't have to translate it like that. You may just say, Muhammad's son. But in general, if you can translate it with of, the son of Muhammad, then you'll be safe in terms of the meaning of idafa. Okay, so again, it's generally described as being the possessed and the possessor. But it's not always possession. Alright, so we want to make that note just so that and later on somebody doesn't say, I thought it was possession. It's not always possession, okay? But that's how it's generally explained. Okay, what else do we know about the mudhaf and the mudhafun ilayhi in terms of yani, how they work, how they operate, how one affects the other one? Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Somebody else who didn't say anything yet. Naam.
The mudhaf is generally definite by position.
Let me give an example first, and then as you explain it, so we can kind of look at it a little bit closely. And especially, if this is review, then inshallah we should be safe, we should be good, right? But we want to give a simple idafa construction. Somebody give me a simple idafa construction, very easy, so nobody can be confused. Baytu
Muhammad.
Baytu, what? Okay, I want to use this word here. No, for a reason. I want a little bit of more simplicity. Okay. Okay. Baytul Imam. Baytul Imami. And then we have another one. Baytul.
رجل. Okay, because I want one with alif lam and one without alif lam. All right? Okay. Now, what you saying? The first part of this construction is called what? Al-mudaf. Al-mudafu. Now, this is the first part. And the second part is called al-mudafu ilayhi. Okay, what are you saying about the first part?
Okay, first part, the mudaf is by position is definite.
Okay, the first part of this idafa construction,
right,
by position may be definite or indefinite.
Right.
Depends on what it's connected to.
Right.
Okay, that's one thing. Yeah, in other words, the first part of the idafa construction never takes alif lam or tanween.
Right.
So how does it become definite or indefinite? Depending on what it's connected to.
Right.
Its position or connection to the word that follows it, the mudafun ilayhi. Okay? So this is the first rule. The first part of the idafa construction never takes alif lam, it never takes tanween. In reference to this alif lam and tanween, what else can we say about al idafa? In reference to this point of alif lam and tanween, what about the second part? The second part always takes alif lam or tanween. Okay, so this is the first rule. In reference to alif lam and tanween, the first part never takes alif lam or tanween. The second part takes alif lam or tanween, one of them.
Right, and always in kasr.
Okay. As far as the case ending, the i'rab, the second part of the idafa construction is always majrur. It's always majrur. Meaning it will take kasra, a single kasra or a double kasra. And if it has alif lam, it will take a single kasra. If it doesn't have alif lam, it'll take a double kasra. But it always is what? Majrur. The second part is always majrur. The first part is not always majrur.
Right.
What is it?
It can take anyone.
It can take, it can have any case ending.
Right. Any case
it can be majrur, it can be mansub, it can be marfu'un. And in the first part, it can take any case ending. It could take dhamma, kasra, or fatha, depending on its place in the sentence. If it's following a preposition, it'll take kasra. If it's the object of a verb, it'll take fatha. If it's the subject of the sentence, it'll take dhamma. Depending on its function in the sentence, it may take dhamma, kasra, or fatha. It could be marfu'un or mansub or majrur. The second part is always majrur. Okay, so in terms of the i'rab, the first part may take any case ending. The second part is always majrur. In terms of alif lam and tanween, the first part never takes alif lam or tanween. The second one will take either alif lam or tanween. All right. So those are that's the main thing that we need to know about idafa. Yani these two things, in terms of alif lam and tanween, in terms of the case ending, yani being marfu'un or mansub or majrur. Since the first part doesn't take alif lam or tanween, it becomes definite if it's connected to a word that's definite. And it becomes indefinite if it's connected to a word that's indefinite. So if the mudaf ilayh is definite, then the mudaf is automatically definite with it. And the mudaf ilayh can be definite by alif lam, or it can be definite because that word is definite without alif lam. And the word that it's connected to could be a pronoun, and all pronouns are definite. Or it could be connected to a proper noun, like Muhammad or Aisha or Hamid. All proper nouns are definite. So it doesn't have to have alif lam. As long as the second part is definite, the first part becomes definite with it. Either because that word has alif lam, or because that word is automatically definite, because it's a proper noun, name of a person, or it's a pronoun, or whatever, that may be definite. Okay, these are the main rules of the idafa. These are the meanings of idafa. Any meaning that shows a relationship between two words. And these two words independently have their own meaning. When they come together in idafa, they take the meaning of what? Some kind of relationship. Blood relationship, marriage relationship, any ownership, possession, being a part of a whole, and something like this. All these types of meanings, it may take any one of these type of meanings, showing the relationship between these two words. Any question? And again, I have to keep saying this because I know that somebody sitting here may not have had this before. This may not be a review for you. So So if you have a question, Ani, feel free to ask if you have a question. Otherwise, this is actually something that we already studied, we completed, and we should know it well. This is intended to be a reminder to us, a reminder in case we have forgotten some point. Now, excuse me. And he said that we should also say that they should never be separated. Any meaning? The mudhaf and the mudhafa ilayh should not be separated by anything coming in between them. And if there's an adjective that is describing the mudhaf, we can't put the adjective here following it, because you cannot separate the mudhaf from mudhaf ilayh, because this is a construction. When you construct it, you put it together and nothing can come in between them. So if you have an adjective describing the mudhaf and ilayh, you can put it right here after it, like you normally put the adjective after the noun that it's describing, right? But if you have an adjective describing the mudhaf, it can't follow it immediately, because nothing can come in between them. Okay, so it'll have to come at the end, and then we'll examine the word that comes after here carefully to see which one is it describing. Okay, we'll look at the case ending, we'll look at masculinity, femininity, we'll look at yani, singular, dual, we'll look at different things to see, is it in agreement with this word, or is it in agreement with this word, to know which one it's describing. Okay, so that's very important. Pay attention. If there's an adjective, for example, or anything, it cannot come in between them. Any question? Okay, we'll break here, inshallah, and after the salat, we'll come back and complete this subject and look at the examples that they have given us on the two pages, or as whatever we can have time to cover on page 14 and page 15, inshallah. استغفرك الله طيب بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. Okay, this is the second part of our 11th session dealing with the basic Arabic grammar review, taken from the handouts for Medina Book 1. And our subject yani today is Al-Idhafa, or the construct phrase. Before the Salat, we completed the exercises remaining from the previous session, yani exercise related to prepositions and pronouns. And then, just before the Salat, we began to introduce the subject of Al-Idhafa, yani the construct phrase. And we said a number of things that are very, very important. Now, we said that the rules of idhafa, well, first, before the rules, we said idhafa is a construct phrase is composed of two parts, two components. The first part is called al-mudhaf, and the second part is called al-mudhafu ilayhi. Yani the mudhaf, they said, is the possessed, and the mudhafu ilayhi is the possessor. And we said that it may also be, yani the first part may be a part, and the second part is the whole, and the other types of relations, yani, between people and so on, that the idhafa construction is used for. It has a number of different meanings. And we began to explain that these two parts, their relation between one another, how they function and what are their rules. And we said that yani the first part of the idhafa construction never takes alif lam or tanween, while the second part takes either alif lam, as in this case, or tanween, as in here. And we also said that the first part of the idhafa construction can have any case ending, and it can take fatha, kasra, or dhamma. It can be marfu, mansub, or majroor, while the second part is always majroor in the genitive case. These are the main things that we need to know about the idhafa construction. Since the first part of the idhafa construction never takes alif lam or tanween, in that case, yani it becomes definite or indefinite depending on the mudhaf ilayh, the second part. If the second part is definite, either by alif lam or any other reason, if it's definite, the first part automatically becomes definite, and if the second part is indefinite, then the mudhaf, the first part, is automatically indefinite. And Brother Abdul Halim also reminded us that the idhafa construction, we should never break it up by placing anything in between it. So anything yani that is attached to the idhafa construction has to be at the end of it. Nothing should be in between the two parts of the idhafa construction. And in the first page of this topic, this brings a lot of different examples. A lot of different examples of idhafa constructions. And the second page brings, gives us references to the Quran, ayats from the Quran, even though some of the first examples are also from the Quran, but they're not referenced. but we'll just look at them as idhafa construction and try to understand yani the rules that we have summarized here, how they are applied in practical examples that we may see in front of us. Yani some of it from the Quran, some of it from hadith, and some of it just general yani Arabic speech. Tayyib, any question before we look at these examples? Is there anybody that is completely unfamiliar with al-idhafa? Completely unfamiliar. Naam. Anybody else who's completely unfamiliar with idhafa? And he never saw it before, does not have any background at all in idhafa? Tayyib. You have a question?
Yes.
Naam.
What's the radical?
Excuse me?
Radical
meaning?
I mean, like the origin
of the. You want to look it up in the dictionary? Huh? The root of it should be Dhaf, Dhad, the letter Dhad, Waw, and Fa. Naam. That's what it appears to be. Yani the middle root radical is a weak letter, and it's probably waw. So if you were to look it up in a dictionary, you look up yani the letter dad and waw and fa. If somebody has a dictionary, you can look it up and try to confirm for us what the middle radical is. What? The main meaning of it. Yani it's, this is from yani idhafa is the masdar from the verb adhafa yudifu, the fourth form of the verb, and it means to connect or to join, yani to bring something with something else. Tayyib, any question about the actual idhafa construction, yani how it works, how it functions, what is its meaning? Any question about this? Okay. They gave us a lot of examples here. So when we look at these examples, we're going to look at two things. Number one, we're going to look at the structure of these expressions, how they're structured. Yani we're going to look at the first part called the mudaf. And we're going to look at the second part called the mudaf ilayhi. And we want to see, yani the rules that we mentioned, we want to see them in application. Okay? The second thing we want to do, we want to look at the meaning of the expression itself. Yani what does it actually mean? Meaning the vocabulary words, the meaning of each word, as well as the meaning that it takes on when they come together. Alright, so we're going to do two things. We're going to look at it from a grammatical perspective, the rules related to al-idhafa, and we want to also look at the meaning of the words themselves. Okay, some of these words we may not be familiar with. Don't worry about it. It's not essential that you know the meaning of every word in the example. But what is essential is that you understand the relation between the two words in accordance with the rules of idhafa. That you actually see why it is an idhafa construction. Okay, you see that the first part of the idhafa construction does not have alif lam or tanween. You have to pay attention to that. That's what you want to stick in your head. And that the second part of the idhafa construction is going to have alif lam or tanween. Okay, that's the general rule. That's what you want to be looking for. You want to pay attention to the fact that the first part of the idhafa construction may take any vowel. It may be taking dhamma or kasra or fatha. While the second part of the idhafa construction, the mudaf ilayh, is always going to be majroor. It's always going to be majroor. The general sign when a word is majroor is that it takes kasra. But we know that there are also secondary signs, right? We know that there are also secondary signs. So, yani generally we're saying that it's going to take kasra, but it's not mandatory it takes kasra, it's mandatory that it be majroor. Okay, if it was a plural word, then the sign that it's majrur is not going to be necessarily kesra, right? It could be a masculine sound plural, and in that case, the sign that it's majrur is not going to be kesra, but rather it's going to be... Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now. Alright, so this is what I want you to pay attention to. Again, don't become overwhelmed if you don't know the vocabulary words. These examples are not yani intended that you know the meaning of every word. But what is intended is that you see the idafa construction, that you see how it works, and that you recognize yani its rules as we look through them. Okay, we should be on page 14 at the top of the page. And by the way, this idafa topic of idafa is covered in Medina Book 1 in chapter 5. Naam. We're going to read from right to left. From the top of the page first, though, it says, and in Arabic, al-mudafu wal-mudafu ilayhi. These are the two names of the two component parts of idafa. Al-mudafu, the first part, and al-mudafu ilayhi, the second part. Okay, in English, they said this is the possessive or genitive case. They're saying possessive in reference to this meaning of idafa. One of the meanings of idafa is the possessed and the possessor. Okay? That somebody possessed something. Okay? It's showing possession. The book of Muhammad. The car of Aisha. Huh? The notebook of the student. Showing possession, ownership. But we said that that's not the only meaning of idafa, right? The second thing they said, yani the possessive or genitive case. And the reason why they're saying genitive case in reference to what? In reference to the case ending of the second part of the idafa, the mudafan ilayh, that it's always majrur in the genitive case. Okay, so they're saying the possessive or genitive case, possessive meaning, one of the meanings of idafa is showing possession, and genitive meaning, the second part of the idafa construction is always in the genitive case, majrur, taking kasra or kasratain, or one of the secondary signs if we see something that is plural or mamnu min al-sarf or something like this. Oh, it's ya? Kay. Huh? Daif. Okay. Alright, so he said that the root of it is ya. Instead of wow, it's ya. Baad, ya, fa. Now. Okay, look on page 14, again, the top of the page, the possessive or genitive case, al-mudhafu, al-mudhafu ilayhi, says more examples from Qur'an and Hadith. More examples from Qur'an and Hadith. Naam? Yes, one question? Naam. This fan is over my head. Please, just raise your voice a little bit. Yeah.
What gives you the indication?
The sigha, the
masdar?
Yeah. Okay, yani because it's a mu'tal verb, it's a little bit yani irregular. Okay, so there's irregularity in it. That's why it's yani not completely clear. If it was a normal verb, then it would be more clear. But because it's a mu'tal verb, I mean that it comes from the root of it, it has a weak letter yani in the middle, so yani it's a little bit yani irregular here. With a normal verb, it would be more clear. Yani you will see like where it comes from more clearly. All right, so okay, first example from the right. Somebody read the example and then give us the meaning of it. Naam Sharif. Baytullahi. Baytullahi. All right, what is the meaning?
The house of Allah.
The house of Allah. Notice he said, the house of Allah. Bayt, it doesn't have alif lam, but it's definite because what? Because the second part of the idafa construction is definite. Okay, it's a proper noun. It's definite, therefore bayt becomes definite. So you translate as the house of Allah. Notice that the second part of the idafa construction is majrur, ends with kasr. We say it's mudafun ilayhi majrur. Second one, Mustafa. Naam, Rasulullah, meaning the messenger of Allah. Okay, this is an idafa construction that we all should know the meaning of, right? The messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Again, notice that the first part of the idafa construction does not have alif lam or tanween. And the second part is always in the genitive case, majrur. And here the sign is the primary sign for the majrur case, that is kasra. Next example. Naam? Go ahead. Nasrullahi. Nasrullahi. Meaning? The help of Allah. The help of Allah. First part doesn't have alif lam or tanween. Second part is majrur with kasra. Here, I just want to make a note. Very important note that we took in the primer book when we first were studying the alphabets. And we said at that time that this expression, lafdh al-jalala, the expression that's used to refer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this expression has more than one way to pronounce it. Okay? And it depends on the vowel before it. If the vowel before it is dhamma or fatha, it's pronounced heavy. Okay, so it's pronounced Nasrullahi. But if the vowel before it is kasra, then it's pronounced light. As in Alhamdulillahi or fi sabilillahi, not fi sabilillahi. Okay, so here's Allah, Nasrullah. As in Idha ja'a Nasrullah. Okay, so sometimes people pronounce these words, for example, in the Basmala, some people say Bismillah. It's not Bismillah, it's Bismillah. It's pronounced Yani La. Because why? Because the vowel before it has kasra. Okay, so pay attention to this difference in the pronunciation of the word. If it's preceded by Dhamma or Fatha, then it is pronounced heavy. And if it's preceded by kasra, then it's pronounced light. Third example. I mean, sorry, not third example. Fourth example. Naam. Amrullahi. What is the meaning?
The command of Allah.
The command of Allah. Or the matter of affair, whatever. Command. Depends on how context it came in, which word we use to describe it. You can say the command of Allah. No problem. Naam. Next one. Next line. First example. Naam. Naam. Abdurrahman. Naam, Abdullahi. Abdullahi meaning the slave of Allah or servant of Allah or from ibadah, worshipper of Allah, the worshipper of Allah. Naam, from ibadah. Abd yani is the one who gives worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Naam, Mustafa, next one. Nakatullahi meaning the she camel of Allah. Naam, after this? Naam? Naam, Nasir, right? Yeah. Yawmul Fasli. Yawmul Fasli, meaning? The day of?
Retribution.
Okay, could mean that. Yeah? Okay, yeah, I mean, that's what it refers to. That's what it's referring to. But, yani, what is the meaning of Fasl? Huh? No. Yawm al-Fasl? No, not here. Fasl, what does Fasl mean? Fasl means to,
Judgment?
No, it's referring to the day of judgment. But, to separate. To separate. Fasl. To separate, to clarify. Yani, to separate something from, to make clear that this is different, separate from this. Yani, yeah, it refers to the day of judgment, day of resurrection, but the meaning of it, literally, Fasl, means to separate, to make clear. Naam. Separate something from something else. Naam. Okay, after this?
Next one. Next one. Naam, Abdul Halim. Laylatul Qadri. Meaning? Be careful with the meaning of this. Okay, the night of decree. We'll get that one. That's good. That's a good one, mashallah. Okay? Naam, night of decree. Because it's the night in which what? Decrees are sent down. The decrees of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it has another meaning, yani shar'i meaning, that also could be applicable, but we'll suffice with this. This is clear. Naam, next one. Naam, Abu Bakr.
Mithqalu dharratin.
Naam, mithqalu dharratin. Meaning? Okay, an atom's weight, huh? Mithqal dharra. Dharra. Okay, it's usually translated like that. The weight of an atom, or an atom's weight. But dharra also has another meaning. Huh? Okay, it could mean that. But the meaning that traditionally, and historically the meaning of it, is a small ant. Yani Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar Asqalani, an explanation of the hadith concerning this in Fath al-Bari, explanation of Bukhari, he says that it means a very small ant. A very small ant, yani its weight, 100 of them is like the weight of a mustard seed. Yani 100 of those ants. That's what he said. So this is also one of the meanings of it. Today we say atom's weight, because atom is the smallest thing that's known to the sciences, you know, so in modern times, so they say atom's weight. Because it means, yani the weight of something that is very, 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 very minute, very small. Now. Yeah. I'm sorry, you have a question? Dharra, yeah, something very small, like a small ant. Or here, today they say atom, an atom, yani an atom, the small particle or whatever, I don't know scientifically what that means. Yani, like the weight of something. No. An amount, a measurement. The next one, third line, second box. Naam, ashkurullah. Fi dinillahi. Notice the pronunciation here, right? Fi dinillahi. Not fi dinillahi. Fi dinillahi. Meaning?
In the religion of Allah.
In the religion of Allah. Tayyib. No problem. But just keeping in mind, right, that religion, yani, may have certain connotations amongst the kuffar, and of course we know that. We don't mean religion in the sense that they think of religion. But we mean, yani, the whole way of life that has been legislated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, next one. Faiz. Bi Rabbil Falaq. Here, notice that the mudaf doesn't have dhamma. As in the previous example. Yani most of the examples that we read so far had dhamma, but in the previous example, the mudaf, deen, had kasra. And here again, the mudaf, rab, has kasra. And because it being preceded by a preposition. So this is to remind us what? That the mudaf is not always going to be dhamma. It can be kasra, it can even be fatha. Bi rabbil falaq. Naam. Meaning? Okay, of the dawn?
With the sustainer of dawn.
Sustainer of dawn. Yani, Rabb is difficult to translate, okay? You can say, they normally translate as Lord, but sustainer, nourisher. Yani, the one who owns and controls, the creator, owner, controller of everything in the universe. Naam. And what is the meaning of falak? It's referring to dawn. Dawn. Naam. Literally, the splitting of something. Yani, the splitting or separating of night from day. Naam. Okay, next one. Naam. Bi ashabil fili. Bi ashabil fili. Naam. What is the meaning? The people of the elephant. Another meaning? dwellers, and ashab, huh? Companions, owners, nam, people, ashab, nam, owners. Yani, it refers to what? The people who possessed elephants. Nam, that came to destroy the Kaaba. Bi ashab al-fiil. Nam. The first part of the idafa construction is ashab, and he has taken kasra because it's preceded by a preposition bi. And the second part of the construct phrase always takes yani the genitive case majroor. In this case, the sign is the kasra. Taib. Next line. Next line. Nam. Ala ta'amil miskeen. What does it mean? The food of the poor. Yani here the meaning of food, it means its intended meaning is? It means feeding. The intended meaning of it is feeding, giving food to the poor. Giving food to the poor. Naam. The miskeen means poor. Naam. Poor or needy. Next one. Next one. Naam, Abu Bakr. Bismillahi. Again, the first part of the construct phrase here, yani, is preceded by the preposition be. Yani, originally this word, yani, begins with sukoon, yani, the word ism. The word ism. Ism means what? Naam. This word, ism, it means name, right? And it originally begins with sukoon. And the Arabic word can't begin with sukoon, so they're adding this kasra here. They're adding this kasra. It's added. Hamzatul wasl. It's added to the original word, which actually has seen a meme. So when we have B here, in the Quran especially, or in this particular phrase, yani the hamzatul wasl is deleted, and we just have the original root of the word. Yani, so we have bismi. Bismillah. Alright, so originally this word begins with sukoon, and the hamzatul wasl is added for pronunciation. We don't need it here. So in the expression, the basmala, bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, yani the hamzatul wasl is not written. Generally, it's not written. Because of the frequency of use of this expression. Naam. Next word, or next expression. Naam, Mustafa. Naam. وَعْدُ اللَّهِ حَقٌّ meaning the promise of Allah is true. The promise of Allah, the idafa construction here is what? وَعْدُ اللَّهِ, the promise of Allah. Going across. Naam. Naam, Azabullahi Shadidun. Azabullahi is the idafa construction, and Shadidun, yani, is completing the meaning. Azabullahi, what about the Azab of Allah? Shadidun. What is the meaning?
The punishment of Allah is severe.
The punishment of Allah is severe. Yani, the first part of the idafa construction here is Azab. Okay, it has Dhamma. But if there was a preposition before, it could be changed to kasra. If it was the object of a verb, it could take fatha. Next line. Naam, Shu'aib. Nasrullahi qareebun. Meaning? The help of Allah is near. Alhamdulillah. We are in need of help, for sure. Allahu musta'an. Naam, the help of Allah is near. That's a fact. That's a fact. Next one. Naam, Abdul Halim. Naam, Muhammadun Rasulullahi. The idafa construction here is what? Where's the mudaf here? Rasul. It can't be Muhammad, because Muhammad has tanween, right? First part of the idafa construction never takes alif lam or tanween. Muhammadun Rasulullah. Muhammad is the mubtada,
and the idafa construction, Rasulullah is the khabar. Or we can say Rasul is the khabar, and love the Jalal Allah is the mudawfan ilayhi, majroor. Muhammadun Rasulullah. Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Fine, next one. On this side? Anybody? Naam, fadl, Ibrahim.
Muhammadun
Abdullah. Muhammadun Abdullah meaning?
Muhammad is the slave of Allah,
the servant of Allah, the worshipper of Allah. Abdu is the mudaf. Yani it has dhamma here. And again, yani it can take any vowel, whereas the second part of the idafa construction is always majroor. Next one. Nasir. Naam, al-ka'batu baytullahi. Meaning?
The Kaaba is the house of Allah.
The Kaaba is the house of Allah. The idafa construction here is what? Baytullahi. Baytullahi. Notice the first part doesn't have alif lam or tanween. The second part is majroor with kasra. Next one. Abdurrahman. Al-Qur'anu kitabullahi. Meaning? The Qur'an is the book of Allah. The idafa construction here is what? Kitabullahi, the book of Allah. Kitabullahi, the Qur'an is the book of Allah. Next one. Next one, Faiz. Qawlu ar-rasuli haqqun. Meaning? Huh? The word of the Rasul, the Messenger, is true. Naam. Qawlu Rasul is the idafa construction here. Qawl, the first part of the idafa construction does not have alif lam or tanween. The second part has alif lam or tanween. In this case, it has alif lam and it's majroor. Qawlu Rasuli. Naam. Next one.
The
Qawlu
is the part of
Qawla
word or that from the
right angle? I'm sorry. Let me turn this. Is anybody hot in here? Okay. So you, yes? You hot? Okay, we'll leave it then. I will turn that fan on over there. No, it's just because of the noise. I can't hear very well ordinarily, and then this fan is blowing it. Okay, no problem. We'll leave it on. No problem. Just try to speak a little bit louder because my hearing is a little poor.
Qawlu is the root word from qala.
Oh, qawlu is the root word from what?
Qala, the verb.
Qala? Qala is a verb. Yani the root of it is qawala. The original root is qawala. Qawala. But we see it today as qala yaqulu. Naam. That's the root and qawl comes from it. Naam. From qawala or qala yaqulu. Qawl. Naam.
Qawala.
Yeah, originally it's qawala. Okay, because you know it's ajwaf verb, mu'tal verb. The original root is waw. In qala, the original root is waw. Qawala. Qawala yaqulu. But we have now is qala yaqulu. Huh? Qawl masdar. Naam. Yani you can say it is from qala yaqulu, but the original root has waw. If you look it up, you look down the qaf, waw, lam. The original root is a waw there. The alif in qala. Anyway, this is advanced beyond our stage here. This is not really for this class right here. That question is really for another class. The saying of the Messenger is true. Possible.
Word.
Okay.
So it could be the word
too. Yani, normally word means, yani in Arabic is kalima, but yani it's similar in meaning. Yani, the intended meaning is pretty much the same. Okay, next one. Naam. Naam. Ashabul kahfi shababun. Meaning? The companions of the cave are young, youth, shabab. Next one. Next one. Mustafa.
فضل الله عظيم, meaning
the grace of Allah is great,
magnificent, نعم, tremendous. Next one, again the idafa construction here is فضل الله. Next one, نصير. نعم الشيطان عدو الإنسان, with شذ on the واو, right, عدو الإنسان. نعم, the meaning, نعم, the Satan or the devil is the enemy of the human being. نعم, the إضافة construction here is عدو الإنسان. First part of the إضافة construction does not take ألف لام or تنوين. The second part takes either ألف لام or تنوين. Next expression. Next expression. عبد الرشيد. هذا فضل كلام الله. كلام الله. What is the meaning? Language, not language. فضل. Okay, maybe grace, favor, yeah, of what? كلام الله is the إضافة construction here. It means what? كلام الله. The word or the speech of Allah. نعم, the speech of Allah. And again, actually in this expression, there are two إضافة constructions. There are two idafa constructions. Okay, let's look at it a little bit, just quickly. Let's look at this just a little bit quickly. And we're almost out of time. Quickly, right? Hadha is mubtada. Fadlu is khabar. It's marfoon with dhamma. And it's connected in idafa to kalam. That's why kalam doesn't have alif lam or tanween. Because it is also a mudaf for the next word, okay? Although normally, yani the mudaf in ilayhi should take alif lam or tanween, but because there's a double idafa here, we have the favor or the grace of the speech. And then we have second idafa, the speech of Allah. So there are two idafas here, yani the fadl, the favor or grace of the speech of Allah. So there are two idafas, fadlu kalami and كلام الله, two إضافة's. And we're going to look at this kind of double إضافة construction or complex إضافة construction يعني as we go on. Okay, next one, next line. Next line, Abdul Karim. بيت الله عظيم, meaning? This is not a not. عظيم is not a not. It's a خبر. The house of Allah is azim, is great, magnificent, yeah. All right. So the idafa construction here is baytullahi, the house of Allah. Next one. Naam, next one. Nasir. Huwa maliku yawmiddin. What is the meaning?
He is the king.
Of which day? Yawm al-Deen. Yawm al-Deen. The day of Deen, huh? Day of Deen. Accounting. Judgment. Naam. When debts will be paid. Huwa maliku yawm al-Deen. Here we have two idafas again. We have the king of the day. The king of the day, maliku yawmi. That's one idafa construction. And then we have yawm al-Deeni. Second idafa construction. The king of the day. And we have the day of Deen. Meaning the day of accounting, the day of judgment. Huh?
We have on the ballot, we have a khabar, right? On the
ballot. Tayyib?
That's a khabar, right?
Yeah.
Okay, on the yom, what we get is not, it's not a not.
It's mudawf and ilayhi. It's not a not, it's mudawf and ilayhi. Huh?
In the Iraq, so that's not a not, right?
No, it's not a not, it's mudawf ilayhi. مضاف إليه إلى يوم. يعني just to keep it very simple for this level, هو is the subject, مالك is the predicate, مبتدا خبر, يوم is مضاف إلى مالك, and دين is مضاف إلى يوم. يعني it's مبتدا and خبر, the rest of it is إضافة. He is the king of the day of Deen. No, it's Idalfa. It's just Idalfa. طيب, next one. أشكر الله. طالب العلم فريضة. What is the meaning? This is not طالب العلم. This is طلب العلم. Pay attention, huh? This is not طالب. This is not a student. This is طلب. What is the meaning? Somebody want to help us? No. Okay, seeking knowledge. طلب means to seek, to request, to require, huh? To request something. Seeking. طالب العلم. Seeking knowledge is an obligation. فريضة is an obligation. Naam, next one. Abu Bakr. Allahu Sari'ul Hisabi. The Idafa construction here is what? Sari'ul Hisab. Yani the first part, Sari' doesn't have Alif Lam or Tanween. The second one has Alif Lam. Sari'ul Hisabi. What is the meaning? Counting. Naam, Allah is quick in accounting, yani in taking the account, yani for the whole of humanity, from the first to the last, and it won't take long at all. It will be done very, very quickly. Naam, next one. Naam, Nasir. Ad-dunya mazra'atul akhirati. What is the meaning? The world, the dunya, the world, yani the life in this world is the mezra. What is a mezra? A mezra is a farm, place where you plant. Okay, you plant here and then you harvest in the akhirah. Yani it's the place of planting for the akhirah. Yani the harvest is in the akhirah, the planting is in the dunya. Yani what you do here is going to determine what you will get in the next life, right? Ad-dunya mazra'atu al-akhirah. The place of planting the seeds for the fruit of the next life. Might not be fruit, right? Or it could be fruit, but not the fruit that you want. Now. Huh? Can it mean? Garden? Yeah, it could mean, I mean, mazra. Yeah, it's a farm, but maybe a garden is like a farm, right? Something like that. A garden you plant stuff in, farm you plant, right? Now. Okay, next one. Next one. Now, somebody else. Come over here. Somebody. Read over here, somebody. Come over here, somebody. Shuaib. Allahu Rabbun Nasi. Allah is the Rabb of the people. Rabbun Nas is the Idafa construction here. Rabb is marfoon with Dhamma. Nas is majrurun with Kasra. Next one. Somebody else over here. Somebody over on this side. Okay. Come on. Yeah. You with us? Huh?
Okay, no. Allahu Malik, Malikun. Allahu Malikun Nas.
Naam, Allahu Malikun Nasi. Meaning?
Allah is the Lord of the.
The Malik, the King.
The King of
Man. Allah is the King of?
Mankind.
Naam, of the people, of all people. Allahu. Malikun Nasi. The Idafa construction here is Malikun Nasi. Malik is the Mudaf and Nasi is Mudafun Ilayhi Majroor. Next one. Now Abdul Kareem. Allahu. Before, before that, the one before that. إلهو
الناس.
نعم الله إله الناس. Meaning Allah is ilah. Is the ilah. The one that is worshipped. The one that deserves to be worshipped here. Is the one. He's the ilah of all humanity. The one that is worshipped. Naam. Next one. Abu Bakr. Naam. Kullu nafsin dha'ikatul maut. Meaning?
Every soul will taste death.
Naam. Every soul is a taster. Dha'ikatu, taster of death. Every soul will taste of death. Meaning? Every person has to die, right? The idafa construction here is dha'ikatu al-mauti. Dha'ikatu does not have alif lam or tanween. And al-maut has alif lam, the taster of death. Naam, next one. Fadl.
Yawmul
Jum'ati, Yawmul Eid. Naam, Yawmul Jum'ati, Yawmul Eid. Yani there are two idafa constructions here, but they are separate. Yawmul Jum'ati is one idafa construction, and Yawmul Eid is another idafa construction. What is the meaning? Naam, the day of Jumu'ah is the day of Eid. And the last one? The day of Jumu'ah? Huh? Oh yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, the day of Jumu'ah, yani the day of gathering, Jumu'ah, is the day of celebration. Eid, day of celebration. And the last one, Faiz? Naam, this is a hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Afdalu al-dhikri, la ilaha illallah, wa afdalu al-du'ai, alhamdulillah. The meaning? The best, the most preferable, the most excellent dhikr. This is the idafa construction. Afdalu al-dhikri, the best dhikr, word of remembrance, is la ilaha illallah. Nothing deserves the worship except Allah. وَأَفْضَلُ الدُّعَاءِ, and the best or most excellent supplication. This is the second idafa construction. أَفْضَلُ الدُّعَاءِ, the best supplication is Alhamdulillah. The praise belongs to Allah. We're going to stop here. We actually went a few minutes over time. Please pardon me. Naam,
akhi. The step up to the last.
Oh, second to the last. Which? What is it? The one that. Kullu nafsin dha'ikatul maut. Okay, yes, that's right. Jazakallahu khair. Barakallahu fikum. MashaAllah. Kullu nafsin is the idafa construction, and dha'ikatul maut is also another idafa construction. Kullu nafsin. Huh? And dha'ikatul mauti.
I just want to be sure that I dealt with the things. Number one is that.
It has tanween, yeah. Because remember, the second part of the idafa construction takes alif lam or tanween. It doesn't have alif lam, that's why it has tanween. Naam. Okay, so please, for homework, go over these examples that we gave here. You can go back to lesson chapter number 5 of Medina, book 1, and look at the rules and regulations and guidelines for the idafa construction. And also, read over the examples on page 15. And in the next session, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we're going to look through these ayats from the Quran that are on page 15. We're going to read through them, analyze the idafa constructions, pay attention to the rules of idafa, and then we're going to do also page 16, which has three examples of complex idafa, that is, any three examples of expressions that have more than one idafa construction in one expression. Yani may two or three or even four idafas back to back, one being connected to the other. We're going to look at both of them next week, page 15 and 16. And if we still have time left, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we're going to introduce the next new subject on page 17, which is the shibu jumla. Yani, we're going to look at that perhaps if we have some time. So please, yani, look over what we did today. And look at the next two pages, 15 and 16. Try to read them and analyze them. And then we'll do them in class. If we have time, we'll also go to page 17. If we have time. That's a new subject on page 17, if we have time. If not, we're just going to complete the subject of Idhafa in the next week's class. بإذن الله تعالى. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك. أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت. أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.